Paris. The city of Paris is known as the City of Lights. You know, that's how we refer to it. It took Richie all of 10 seconds in the City of Paris to tell me it was the City of Sirens, which is one of those iconic things that Paris is known for. True story. True story. And Paris has gobs of them. No matter what street you're on, no matter where you're going, no matter what time of day, that's what you hear. And they travel in little convoys. You'd think that, you know, something really, really, really serious was always happening because there's always this line of cars with that obnoxious noise going on. There's also, they look like that, all the time. It's just a caravan. There's just hordes of police cars. At night, when we were staying in the city of Paris, Richie and I were less than the distance from here to I-10 between us and Notre Dame Cathedral. And the bells would peal, you know? Made me feel like I'd died and gone to heaven. You could hear the bells. We had this beautiful skylight in our room, and you could hear the bells. But the bells were drowned out frequently by that obnoxious noise that I will not have Corey play again. Richie called it the Paris lullaby. He didn't like it at all. He wasn't real fond of Paris, but he did not like the police cars and the sirens. And when we were out and about, seeing sights and eating or just wandering around, there were the police people, the police persons, men and women, fully decked out in what we would call riot gear, carrying automatic weapons with a spare and a handgun and a whole bunch of bullets. And they traveled in packs. I mean, packs of 8 or 10. None of the single policemen on a corner with a backup a few minutes away, or maybe even 2 in a car. They traveled in herds. Just massive herds. And carrying impressive firepower. Now, I have to tell you, disclaim, in case Rachel ever asks, this is a picture off the internet. I did not take any pictures. Rachel gets really upset when I take pictures of people with guns. She slaps my hand and tells me not to do that. So I did not take any pictures of the herds of policemen that we saw. It was pretty obvious we were not in Kansas anymore. Never mind Texas. We were not in Kansas. We were somewhere, and I'm not sure there was a rainbow involved. It was different than anything we had seen or experienced in our lives in Paris. The scenery was different. The topography was different. The police and security presence was very different. Very, very different. And the language was different. Our reading today was very politically charged. Very, very politically charged. For those of you who say we must separate church and politics, well, then you haven't read the New Testament, because the New Testament is a charged political statement. Very, very charged. Imagine, if you will, that we are a first century church. Ephesians, part of the Roman Empire. It's about AD 62, and Paul is in prison in Rome for the first time, and he's writing us a letter. And we have all met at Marilyn's house, because she has the biggest house. So we have all met at Marilyn's house, and we are crowded in there, and Ethan and Elliot and Kaylin are running around between our legs and begging to be picked up, and it's crowded, and we're all smushed in there. And we're going to read this letter that has come from Paul. Now, we can do this without great fear, because the Romans have brought us peace. The Romans are here, and they have dictated that there is to be peace throughout the Roman world. Now, this is an enforced peace. This is a peace through brutality. This is a peace that we can have, yes, our little religious freedom. We can meet at Marilyn's house and we can read this letter, but we must be ready to acknowledge that Caesar is number one, if called upon to do that. We must be ready to acknowledge that Rome is in charge. We must never do anything to jeopardize the peace. The Roman soldiers move around in herds, kind of like what we saw in Paris, an enforced peace. Our political holidays would include all the feasts of Roman design and Caesar's birthday. We celebrate Caesar's birthday, and we are required to listen to how Caesar and Rome has brought us peace. It is because of Caesar and Rome that we have peace, that we have any shred of religious freedom, that we have any sort of ability to move freely. It is because of Caesar and Rome. Where have we seen that before? Where else have we seen that? Hard fought, sorely won. The peace enforced by what? The men in the white armor, right? The soldiers enforcing the peace. And who created the peace? Pan Am, the capital. So we're back to being crowded into Maryland's, and we're going to read Paul's letter. And the reader for the day reads out the words I emphasized. Christ is our peace. And you can hear the intake of breath in the room. Because if the wrong person hears that, if the person who is not fully committed to this Christian endeavor hears that and reports it to the wrong person outside of Marilyn's house, we're all dead. Because we have just spoken treason against Rome. Christ is our peace. Caesar is the reason we have peace. And yet Paul proclaims, Christ is our peace. And to say Christ is our peace, we have just committed that act of treason, which is punishable by the cross. Politically charged book we got here. We're dancing on hot coals. Roman citizenship bought you some special privileges. But we normal people crammed into Maryland are probably not Roman citizens. We are probably a conquered people. To become a Roman citizen, you had to buy it if you were not born that way. Very few people were birthright Roman citizens. Very, very few people. And those people who were had pedigrees that you could trace. But if you wanted to become a Roman citizen, you had to buy that privilege with a huge sum of money. So it was relegated to the very wealthy. There is no middle class. So most of us will never see citizenship. Paul has been very fortunate, and he has come from a very wealthy family. And when he was a very small child, his parents bought citizenship. So Paul was raised as a practicing Jew and as a citizen of the Roman Empire. Talk about your fortuitous things. It is through his citizenship and the rights that being a citizen of the Roman Empire that he is even permitted to go to Rome. Most rabble were put down in the local areas. But by virtue of being a Roman citizen, he is entitled to a trial in Rome. He is spared flogging because Roman citizens were above flogging. You could not flog a Roman citizen. During his imprisonment, he is even well treated, given the times for imprisonment, because of his Roman citizenship status. Politically charged. Very politically charged. As we look at this passage as 21st century Christians, we should look at it in terms of our own citizenship. For we too are dual citizens. Everyone in this room is a United States citizen, and I pray that everyone in this room is a citizen of the kingdom of God. Citizenship comes with lots of rights, doesn't it? We experience rights as United States citizens, right? We have the right to free speech. We have the right to bear arms. We have the right to somebody. There's, you know, a Bill of Rights. Come on. We're doing one of them right now. Worship. We have the right to. We have the right to keep our mouths shut. Excuse me? Free speech, yeah. We have the right to assemble. We have the right to deny quarter. The army cannot show up, knock on your door, and say, put me up. But what is the other side of those rights? Anybody? Responsibilities. Oh, my dad loved that. Every time I would say, but daddy, it's my right, he would say, with every right comes a responsibility. If you ask him about it, he doesn't remember it. I remember every single time he told me that. We have responsibilities as citizens of the United States. We have rights and responsibilities as citizens of the kingdom of God. The cross bought us our citizenship. But it is not what we do to show our responsibility. Sometimes the church as a whole fails miserably in serving its responsibilities to the citizenship of the kingdom of God. We allow ourselves to be torn apart, to fight over insignificant things, or points of doctrine, or how we present that doctrine, or what color the carpet is, or where we buy our fried chicken. That's a true story, Carol. You're laughing, but that's a true story. The kingdom of God The idea of citizenship in the kingdom of God is a complete and total rewrite of everything people know up to this point. The idea of a peace that doesn't come with an armed guard. The idea of loving your neighbor and everybody being your neighbor. The idea of doing unto others. The idea of doing away with a servant master enforcement, but rather a desire to serve. We are citizens. We need to act like it. You know, we could solve, it's easy for me to say, we could solve most of the problems of the United States if we just took our responsibility seriously, right? How many issues could we solve in our churches if we took the responsibility of citizenship in the kingdom of God seriously? Corey, can I have that picture? Cute little fence, isn't it? Very picturesque. If you look to the where the little red door in the background is, they sell sweets. Meringues that are this big around in about 18 different flavors. Those little colored macaroon cookies with the icing in between them. In every flavor imaginable. Icies, ice cream. Big, huge. They call them pons, spelled P-A-I-N, but it's like a huge cinnamon roll. Wonderful. If you, just out of the picture to the, all the way to the right, is a Chinese food restaurant that has a little patio out front like all the restaurants do. And if you sit outside on that patio, you can see Notre Dame Cathedral. Beautiful cathedral. Oh, she spoke to me. I kept being pulled back to her. I think I visited her every day we were in Paris. It's a stunning cathedral. With something like 1,400 years of worship that has occurred there. Stunning cathedral. And just a cute little picturesque neighborhood, right? With a cute little fence. Cute little fence. That fence represents something I'm afraid of. It cost me a sense of personal freedom. There wasn't one horde of policemen or one convoy of flashing lights anywhere when I needed it. That picture right in front is where the man ran into me or tackled me or attacked me, however you want to phrase it, and my feet went over my head and I went flying and tumbling and landed on both sides all at once and got all 10 kinds of torn up and bruised. And landed on the fence and cut my arm and slunk to the bottom, and this group of people rushed over to see if I was okay, and they were babbling at me in French. Only one person knew English. So I'm shaken and I'm scared, and the last thing I want to do is go to a hospital where they don't speak English. Because how do you tell them where it hurts when you don't speak the language? And beyond that, the last thing I wanted to do was go to a police station and fill out a report where I didn't know the procedure. It's not real high on my list to go down to the Cypress Creek substation and fill out any sort of reports either, but I speak the language there. And I understand that they can't arrest me or detain me for filling out a report. And I know that I'm entitled to my rights if I have to fill out any sort of report at the Cypress Creek substation. Those rights do not exist in France. The French police can detain you without cause for an indeterminate period of time. Now, they would have no reason to do that, but I don't speak the language and I don't know. I was a stranger and an alien in a foreign land. I have never felt more like a stranger and an alien in my life. Now, I haven't been to just hundreds of foreign countries. Conrad has way more stamps in his passport than I do. But I was a stranger and an alien. I was not protected by any government rights. I had no citizenship rights. I was a visitor. But you know what? A week later, I got on an airplane and I flew to Newark, New Jersey, which is kind of the armpit of the world. If you've ever been to Newark, New Jersey, it is sort of the armpit of the world. But to me, it was the most wonderful place on the planet. As soon as we cleared customs, I turned to Richie and I said, I can have that heart attack now. We can go have my arm looked at now. I can say all the horrible things I've been holding inside of me about French people now. Because I'm home. I am a citizen of the United States. I know this procedure. I know how it works. Ephesians tells us we are strangers and aliens, foreigners on this planet. It doesn't feel like we're strangers and aliens, you know. We all sort of reside on the planet. We're sort of governed by gravity, the need to eat, the need to have a roof over our head. But nonetheless, by choosing to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we have made ourselves strangers and aliens. We no longer live by the rules of the kingdom of this earth. We can stand up and say we have all the rights as Americans. And we do. We never give up our rights as Americans as long as we're on American soil. But superseding our rights and responsibilities as Americans are the rights and responsibilities of being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Ephesians goes on to talk about the separation of the Jews and the Gentiles. And 2,000 years later, we don't even really question it because we are those Gentiles. And so we're like, what's the big deal? But in AD 62, that was a huge deal. I can only liken it to you if I were to tell you that every illegal alien in the United States today suddenly and instantaneously is going to become a citizen with all the rights and privileges of the citizens of the United States of America. And it's going to happen like that. And there isn't anything you can say or do about it. It's just going to happen. That's what it felt like to the Jews. Jesus came, Jesus died on the cross. Suddenly, all this separateness that they have had inbred into them for 1,200, 2,000 years is gone. We are all equal. We are all citizens of the kingdom of God. We are all strangers and aliens amongst the very people we live and breathe with. This strangers and aliens concept comes back several times in the New Testament. We are all aliens. Now, Carol's going to go to England, and I promise you, Carol, it's not nearly as bad in England. Number one, you speak the language. Really, really helps. Number two, they're really nice. They're not snobs like the people in Paris are. The people in Normandy and Verdun were very, very, very sweet. And I would go back there in a heartbeat. I'm not sure Paris is for me. But while you are in England, you will be a stranger and an alien. Their rights and their needs and their preferences will come first. If you're over there and something horrible happens, they're going to take care of their people first. Because they're citizens. And you will be at the mercy of the U.S. State Department. Hopefully it has not been expelled. Make sure Stephen has that number. We, by virtue of being Christian, are no longer strangers and aliens to the kingdom of heaven, but we are strangers and aliens to this land, to this way of life in which it's everybody for themselves. And we need to step beyond that and embrace our new citizenship with all of its rights and responsibilities. As we celebrate the 4th of July this weekend, and trust me, my celebration will go well into the wee hours as my neighbor shoots off their 12 hours of fireworks that they do every 4th of July, I will be waking up as they stop popping fireworks. The celebration gets kind of wild. But as we celebrate the 4th of July this week, and we think about what being good citizens of the United States really means, what the 4th of July and the Declaration of Independence bought us, and what our responsibility is to that, we ought to give some mental thought and some mental energy to what our rights and responsibilities are toward where our citizenship really matters, and that is to the kingdom of heaven. Because we really are strangers and aliens here. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. Help us to understand why that is such a better citizenship than the United States or any place else in the world, even though we feel so strongly about our American citizenship. Help us to understand how to be good strangers and aliens as we walk through our daily lives, and help us to influence others. Give us that opportunity every single day. In Jesus' name, amen.